Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to first of all say thank you to the leadership of the church. It's an honor to be given the privilege to share and testify to the resurrection of Jesus, to share the message with you. Hallelujah. Right, so the title we're sharing today is He Was Buried and He Was Raised, or He Rose Again. And the key scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. I'll read from NIV here. All right, so I read from the first. Right, so it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So, Jesus died, was buried, and was raised from the dead. And that is the core of the scripture. That is the core of the Christian faith. That is the core of our salvation. He's not in the grave. He's not in that sepulchre anymore. He's not to be found in the cemetery. He was buried, but he didn't stop there. He was raised. Hallelujah. I'll tell you a story. One holiday, I had a visit from my friend named Emmanuel, a fellow believer in the faith. So he visited us, and we had a morning prayers with all the children. His children, three of them were there with us, with Sherman, Shalom, and my wife. And then he started off and wanted everybody to contribute. And then this was the question he posed just some months ago. It was, did Jesus actually rise from the dead all by himself, by his power? What happened? Well, everybody contributed. I was very particularly interested in what my children would say, what Sherman would say, and what, you know, Shalom would say, because that tells me, it's kind of a feedback that they've been picking something either from the house or from the church. So Sherman said, "God rest him from the dead." I was like, okay, that's good. And, you know, everybody spoke up, and then it got to my turn. I said, yes, he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, by the Holy Spirit, by the glory of the Father. So he couldn't have rise all by himself, because according to the scriptures, the sins of mankind was laid on him. He, the Son of Man, had become sin. Like we heard last week, he died for our sins. So he became sin. Who knew no sin? That the righteousness of that he had might become ours. So it was sin that was crucified and was buried. But when it was on the third day, according to the plan of God, the Bible says he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And you can find that in Romans 6, verse 4 to 5, which we would come to. So, a thought that comes to me when I studied this is, what is the significance of that, the resurrection, to me? What is the significance to the body of Christ? What am I supposed to do with the information? Yes, believed it and I'm safe. But what else? Is there a role? Is there something I'm supposed to do with it? Of course there is. We are to become witnesses of his resurrection to the world. Because you see, the world will not really fight or, you know, resist or argue against the existence of Jesus, even though they haven't met him, but the historicity of the person and life and times of Yeshua or Jesus is there in the open. So they know that if they say, no, there was no man like Jesus, it was, you know, a figment of someone's imagination, they know that that argument will not stand because, I mean, they can't really say that about all the other historical figures that they haven't met. No one here in this room has met William Shakespeare because he lived around the 1580s. But we know there was a playwright named William Shakespeare, and he lived and wrote things, I believe, there in London. And we know he's there, even though we haven't met him. So what they tend to argue, like when we go preaching, I remember my experience in Glasgow one time going out for evangelism, is that when you then say he was born of a virgin, he died for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. Raised from the dead? You know, so this point that God has given, you know, like we sang this morning, the sun and the moon, they testify to the greatness of God, to the power of God, to the existence of God. But the world doubts it. And because the world doubts it, God calls us and empowers us to be witnesses of his resurrection, to bear that message to the world. Hallelujah. So, in Jesus' time, in the first century after his ascension, there were people called the Sadducees in the church who never believed in the resurrection, never believed in the existence of angels and spirits and things like that, particularly because it didn't align with some of the doctrines they hear of in the Torah. He said, oh no, there's nothing about the resurrection of Jesus in there. And this is in this portion here. Sorry, I've gone too far. In this portion here, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul encountered them and then, you know, placed the argument side by side. Why do you say there is no resurrection and there is no spirit, but God is a spirit? So I'll just read it through. It says, but it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. And that also answered the question, that he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, by God. So the Sadducees never believed in the resurrection from the dead. But they still came to the temple. They still came to the synagogue to worship. And Paul had to address that, to tell them, no, this is the core of the Christian faith. In Romans chapter 9, verse 10, he said, but if thou shalt believe in your heart the Lord Jesus as the Son of God, and that God raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, that catapults the person into salvation. So the resurrection of Jesus is the core of the Christian faith. When he died, he took our place. He did it on behalf of us. Our sin was laid on him. He was buried. He descended into Hades. The demands of justice, like we sing, that the wrath of God was justified. So the demands of justice was completed. And on the third day, God raised him up from the dead. And the Bible says, you know, according to the scriptures, we were raised together with him. Hallelujah. Unto newness of life. So it is the core of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, then there is no church. There is no body of Christ. But thanks be to God that there is resurrection from the dead. And that gives us confidence that our faith is not in the physical. Our faith is founded on a solid rock, on a solid ground. There is divinity behind our faith. There is God backing us up, hallelujah. That even when this life is over, because we are different at varying levels of our journey on earth, but we have eternal hope that is founded. It's not fallen hope. It's not a hopeless situation. That even when you're laid in that grave and you're gone, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, that same spirit also shall quicken that body. And on that day of the resurrection, you will come out with a resurrected body. Hallelujah. It's a faith that we have. It's a hope that we have. So Paul laid it out in the second paragraph here. He says, more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. That means saints of old, including Abraham, including Paul himself and Peter and all. You remember Stephen, who was one of the first that was killed for his faith. So it's all in vain if there is no resurrection. But he says, if only in the physical life we have hope in Christ, then we have all people most miserable, most to be pitied. But hallelujah, we know that that's not the case. Jesus died, was buried, and was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. So one of the significance of the resurrection of Jesus to us today, presently, in our physical bodies, is that you can receive vitality from that same spirit. He said something. He knew he'd be gone. But he said, I will not leave you like orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. So we know that one of the responsibilities of the, or one of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that he can quicken your body. He can supply strength to your body. And in such a way that you will not know any, you not have any physical explanation for where that strength is coming from. When you need it, he can supply vitality to the body. So he says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 2:6-7. We would have no way of being with the Father. We would have no hope of life if he was not raised from the dead. So the first significance of it is that because he was raised from the dead, then you can boldly declare that sin has no dominion over you, because you were raised together with him unto newness of life. And then he sends his own Holy Spirit, as we would see in the next verse there. That's Romans 6. Okay, I'll come to that. But in Romans 8, verse 11, he says that if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he says that same Spirit shall vitalize your mortal body. But how many of us have internalized that, meditated on it? Because that word was given to us. I meditate on it. And I know he can supply vitality to the body. In the midst of the pains, he can drive it out. He can literally perambulate in you. He can move around and fix everything. Because he's the same spirit that raised Jesus, quickened that corpse from the grave, out of that sepulchre. He rose up alive. And Jesus is alive today. That is the message we are given to go out as witnesses and declare, bear witness to him that he is alive. He's not dead. He's the same yesterday, today and forevermore. Hallelujah. He says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So he brought us life beyond the plant life, the biological life. He brought us a life that is the very life of God, which in the Greek is Zoe. So that's the life that he has given to us. A life that is superior to death. A life that is superior to all the troubles in this world. He brought us that life. He made it available. He made it accessible. Something that, because of the fall of Adam, we were cut short from it. But now, the life of God is available for us. Hallelujah. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So that is for the future as well. Hallelujah. So I said, that's Romans 8 verse 11 is there. He said, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies because of his spirit that dwells in us. Hallelujah. What a blessing that we have here. So the resurrection is the key to eternal life. For this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. Whoever had the Son had life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So we are to become witnesses of this, having believed and received of that spirit of his resurrection. We are to go out in our workplaces like that, or wherever, in the streets, in the marketplaces, and be witnesses. And when he says witnesses, you know, one interpretation of a witness, like an eyewitness, the person who was there in the graveyard when he actually came out of the grave. But obviously, we did not live in that era. So when we study or when we read and hear that we are to be witnesses, the best interpretation of that word witness there is like a legal witness in the court. So a plaintiff bring a charge, and then the defendant comes, they argue, and you know, there's an argument before the judge. And the judge is not too sure. So the strength of the matter is not clear before the judge. So he calls a witness. And then the witness testifies. The testimony of the witness, what it does is it makes the argument stronger. He brings clarity to it. So he says, we are witnesses unto Jesus. Because in the earth, he had left signs to God. The Bible says that the light of God is in every man. That light has lighted every man that came into the world. He might not find out. He might not receive Christ. But he has an idea there's a God. He might go and pick a tree and worship a tree and think that is the God. But there is something. God has said eternity. Something in the human spirit that cries out, yearns out to the immortal being who created the universe. And so he looks out and say, the sun, the moon, the stars, the water, the oceans, where did they come from? So he begins to think there is a God somewhere. But some fails to believe. Even after seeing that, seeing the sun shine, seeing the sun, the moon, and all of that. So Jesus said, he's calling us to be witnesses unto him, to make the argument stronger before the people, to let them know that he's not in the grave, that he's risen. Hallelujah. To be witnesses that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that power is present here. So if you had any pains or anything in your body, the Bible says when Jesus was teaching at one time in one of the, one of the villages, the Bible says the power of God was present to heal. That power is present this morning to heal. So if you do have anything or any need for prayer at the end of this, then we can pray. And that same Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is alive, will touch you, and there will be healing today. I knew this since Friday when I prepared for this meeting, that God will heal somebody today. That power is present this morning. You can latch onto it by faith and take a hold of your blessings. we have been dispatched to be witnesses unto him of his resurrection. So just a minute, I'll call up my wife who has a testimony to share, because we are all witnesses of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Right, so tell us what happened a few weeks ago, because you experienced it and you did something and God did something and then we had a result. Just share it.
Praise the Lord.
You can.
Of a truth, I am a witness of his resurrection power. Last month, a few weeks back, I came back from work. I have a pain, serious pain, at my left leg. It was a challenge walking upstairs. And I met my husband. I said, look, I have a pain, serious pain. And he prayed for me. And surprisingly for me, the pain gone. I just want to testify for the glory of God.
All right. Thank you. All right. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I have never been to her workplace, and I would never be, well, I may not be there to meet the people in her sphere of contact. But when she shares in the conversation they have, might be in the canteen, saying, oh, well, there's a God. Look, the pain, you remember when after work I had this thing, and it was like that, and it was this. But by the laying on of hands, Jesus healed me. That's how we bear witness, and you inspire faith in others. And the will of God is that as many as have been appointed unto salvation, they might come to know him and to receive him and to believe in the resurrection and to have eternal life, that the prince of this world will not have dominion over them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening.